I'm very pleased today to start this series, which I love so much. I went through all our catalog, which is over 1,000 messages. And, you know, I normally do long series of messages. All right? And I look for the ones in which I think I may have handled this subject. Of course, we talk about these things here and there. But as a specific subject, I found only two of them. So let me start by recommending them. The first one is titled My Place in Christ, and the second one is titled The Work of Christ. The functional words there, or the important words there, being Christ, all right, in both cases. I want to recommend that you get a hold of those messages. They are available here as MP3. The first one is titled My Place in Christ, and the second one is titled The Work of Christ. Okay, we are going to start from the book of Colossians chapter 1. That is the main text we are going to read for this series. I hope it won't be too long, but let us see how it goes. What I hope to do is to bring to the focus again what actually the central thing about Christianity is. I want you to notice that that word is Christianity. It's not spirituality. It is what? Christianity. It is not good manners. It's not righteousness. Nearity. I'm trying to look for nitty to put after righteousness. Okay? It is not good neighbor nitty. It's nothing like that. It is what? Christianity. It is not about being a good person. It is not being a nice person. It is not being what the world will call holy. All right? Christianity is the first few, the six letters there is Christ. And that is what it is about. It is about Christ. Christianity is not about being a good man. Please, let me start that again. It is not about being a good man. It's not about being a righteous man. It's not about being somebody who does not hurt his neighbor. Christianity is about what? Christ. I want to hear from you.
Christ.
That's what it is about. You know, I said to you before, all right? You go to a Christian bookshop. In fact, you listen to a lot of Christian messages, what we call Christian. You listen closely a lot of times. You find very little of Christ in it. There's a lot of Judaism in Christianity today. There's a lot of, oh God, it's, in fact, most of what is preached today, what we call Christianity, is pure Judaism. It is not Christianity. Why do I say so? Because you hear things that people are saying, do this and you'll be pleasing to God. Pay your tithe and God will be happy with you and so he'll bless you. Bring your first fruit and God will bless you. I'll say some things to you straight, I will not pull punches. It is absolutely not true. You pay your tithes, does not make God like you or doesn't make you or not like you. You bring forth fruits or not, he does not recognize it in any way. I'll say that to you straight. You must understand some things were given as types of Christ. We have turned those things now back to Lord, thereby denying the person of Christ Jesus. You give the first fruit or not, it means absolutely nothing. You hear what I said?
Yes,
oftentimes when we churches are in dire need of money, we invent all kinds of things to pull it out of people's pockets. God never, anywhere, commanded Christians to bring first fruits to him. Go and check your Bible. He never did. The reason why I started like this, I want you to get angry. I want you to wake up and realize that Christianity is very different from Judaism. Listen to me. Whether you pray or you don't pray, it's not what makes you pleasing to God. Let's start with that. We have to start with that. Some people, after smoking Indian hemp, or corrupt, their minds are corrupted by hunger derived from poverty. They sleep and dream that they went to hellfire, and they saw that if women use jewelry, they will not go to heaven. Listen, those girls were lying. You hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
If you believe them, you are deceived. Somebody died, went to heaven, and discovered that only these men were there. All the women were in hellfire. Why? They were using jewelry and using makeup. What was the last thing they were using?
Attachment.
Women here, dead people here, living people here. And they said they got to heaven. They didn't find the women there. Why? Because of those things they used. So God sent all of them to hellfire. Again, let me tell you one more time. They were deceiving you. I didn't believe a word of it. I did not think it was worthy of my response. Except that too many people started asking me questions about it. Somebody said that I should have watched the video before I commented. You think it's now people are seeing hellfire? You think it's now? Maybe you got give your life to Christ yesterday. I have been preaching the gospel since 1987. What are you inventing that I've not seen before? No, not 87. 89. As I started studying the word of God since 1987, there is nothing you are bringing I haven't seen before. Nothing. Just live long enough. You will live long enough. You know that? In another 15, 20 years, another joker will die again. Go to hell. That time around, he will see those who are driving cars in hellfire. And he'll decide that it's only those who are on horses. Because after all, God says that you will race on horses. You know, they will start quoting scripture for you. Listen, I don't have to watch the video. It's not new. You will know what is in the tree by its fruit. Is that not so? Yeah. I saw the fruit. People won't attend to the word of God. They will cut their hair. Their lives won't change, but they will stop wearing earrings. And they keep it at home until they recover from the shock. So they can put it back on again. That's what they do. It's actually not worthy of my comment. Like I said, it's just because people kept on coming to me to ask questions. That was why at the time I had to write a tract, Who is Going to Hell? And all I have to say about it is in that tract. If you are listening to this message, go to our website. Just you'll find it there. Download it as PDF. Read it. Don't write me any comment. Don't say thank you, sir. Don't insult me. Don't thank me. Just read it. If it blesses you, fine. If it doesn't, it's your problem, not mine. I tell you what Ken Hagin said once after preaching for days. A man ran up to him. Excuse me, sir. What? He said, I want to tell you, I've been every one of your meetings for the last few days, and I don't believe a word of everything that you said. And Ken Hagin said, that's your problem, not mine. And he kept on walking. And the man laughed and said, that's right. That's my problem, not yours. Listen, I realized something. That I live in the kind of liberty most human beings don't know exists. I'm not joking about that. I enjoy a kind of liberty in Christ. You know, I didn't realize until recently that most people don't realize exists. I'll say something to you. I want to shock into what I want to discuss. Listen, whether I give or not, are you getting my point? It doesn't affect my prayer. I'm not afraid to not give. Did you hear what I said? Yes, I'm not joking. I am not afraid to not give. I don't know. Please, follow me. Get me in context. I don't give because I'm trying to get something out of God. That's what I'm trying to say. I don't give because I want to be sure that, you know, when God is coming around now, he goes, Jesus, okay, how much do you come? How much do you give? I don't do that. You will see again as we go on why we Christians do what we do. Like I say all the time, it doesn't cross my mind how God is assessing me when I give my daughter a hug and I say, hey, princess, you're beautiful. I don't understand whether God is checking. It's just out of what? Love. I can't remember one day that as my wife and I are moving money around so that the whole family will have food to eat. He said, you know, if we don't give these children food now, or pay their school fees, God is going to be angry and say that we are not good parents. He will now kill one of the two of us. So let's he kills us, let's quickly give him something. So what do? Quickly go and pay Akilu school fees. Quick. Have you noticed we never did that one day? And if you're a parent, you are doing that, please, you need deliverance. I'll conduct a special deliverance session for you. Parents don't do that. Even unbelieving parents, when they want to do what is right, they don't remember to say, when I've given to you children, I'll now go and pray to God, then my business will now prosper. Has he ever crossed the mind of any normal parent? So, simply then, why did they provide for their children? I don't know, you can go and synthesize any reason, but you and I know the simple reason. That is just what parents do for their children. There's no other explanation. Yes, there are some crazy people, maybe because they're always on drugs. They don't know what is right. We're talking about average normal people. In the same manner, as a Christian, I am not lying to you. I will not deceive you. What am I deceiving you for? I can't remember. I think God weaned me of that thing around 1988. Me handing God money, and handing an offering to a basket, giving to a church, to a ministry, to a preacher, to somebody in need, because I want God to give me something back. I can't remember doing that. I can't remember doing it. Maybe I did it. The only time, maybe In fact, the first time I did, somebody said, you will sow a seed. And then when you need money, God will give you money. And at that day, I was so happy. I read the book. I wanted the name of the book. All right? And then I gave the money. And God said, yeah, he too has entered into it. All right? Oh, foolish banker, who has bewitched you into thinking that I don't give except somebody gives me first? Go and confound his life. Some angels came, made sure I was broke. I had never seen it like that before as a student. My parents did their best to make sure I was comfortable. The day I decided to give to God so I can get from him, God collected everything from me. After that, I said, Lord, I repent in dust and in ashes. This is not the will of God. The first day somebody said, give a tithe now and prove me now. I tried it too. God said, God will rebuke Deborah for your sake. The first time Deborah saw me on campus was after that. Deborah did not know me before. When I did that, God said, oh yeah, guys, after him. Man, they came after me. I went and met one brother who preached the gospel. I said, but you said Deborah will be rebuked. He said, it's a seed. It takes time to germinate. Oh, nonsense, it taking time to germinate is that. Now, listen. One day I told this brother this. He said, that is why I don't believe you. I said, that's not the reason. It's not the reason. It's just that I have studied the scriptures. There are things I have studied from the scriptures. Are you getting my point? And those things are just, God use them to wake me up and say, Banky, open your eyes. I taught you the grace of Christ. Where are you beginning to learn this thing from? Paul said, who has bewitched you to depart from that which is a pure, I'm paraphrasing now, pure gospel of Christ, and then adding some steps of Judaism to it? I believe one thing for sure. That God prepared me, that's as an individual, all right, through many experiences to say, Banky, there are some things that's going to be very popular in Christianity as you begin to preach. Don't ever preach it. It has not been easy for me, in quote now, I mean, not serious difficulty, to stand up against what everybody else is saying. I have been in a church before. The pastor said, everybody that wants to be doing this, oh yeah, stand up. I look to my left, there were at least 500 that day. I took my seat in the midst of 500 people. I said, I will not stand. No matter how much you color it and make it sound nice, I am not going to stand from here because it is not in accordance with the gospel of Christ that I understand. I stood with it. It's about truth. It's not about what is popular. I'm saying to you again, listen, I don't care who's preaching some things. What I want to preach to you today, from beginning from now, is the truth of God, which incidentally, many people don't understand. A lot of Christians, they cannot separate Judaism from Christianity. And that was a major problem that the early church had. That was a major problem that God had. That was why he ensured that Paul did not mingle with Peter, James, John, and all those other apostles early. For a long time, he said, don't go near them, my guy. Don't go near them. If you do, they are going to corrupt you. Not a joke. God said, Paul, listen, I'm going to call you. I'm going to teach you the gospel myself. Don't go near Peter. Don't go near James. Don't go near John. 14 years, the man was preaching everywhere, including telling the stories of what happened at the Last Supper. Then one day, he came and met those guys. He said, listen, did it really happen the way I've been saying it? For 14 years, he had been preaching. And when Peter heard what had happened in the life of Paul and the ministry of Paul, he was marveled. When he read the writings of Paul, Peter was knocked out. The things that Paul was writing, I say to you, Peter did not understand many of them until Paul wrote them. Many of the things that Jesus wanted to teach Peter, James, and John, and the other apostles, they couldn't hear it until they heard it from Paul many years after. Many of the letters of Paul stumbled into their hands. All right? And they read it and said, this must have been what the Lord was trying to tell us. Why am I saying this? Because the Jew, even after they had been baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues, they could not understand that, get my point, that the Gentiles were equal with them. They had preached the gospel for a long time. They did not go near the Gentiles. Then one day, Cornelius was there calling the gospel to himself, not even knowing about it. Then an angel went and said, listen, well, this thing you are doing, it won't get you far the way you're going about it. Let me now tell you what is the right thing. What is it? The only way you can know it, actually, I can tell you, send for that man, Paul, Peter. That was when, oh God, you must understand, God began to show up with dreams, with trances, and special manifestations, just to persuade Peter that the Gentiles can hear the gospel. I don't know whether I get the point. Listen, many of your dreams and interpretations is a sign of your stubbornness, not a sign of your spirituality. No, Christians, they think that God spoke to me. I had a vision. It shows they now start walking around like a prophet. Confused child. Thinking he's spiritual. Listen, if they were free people in their hearts, God would not have bothered to be showing all those kind of dreams. And then I went to a trance, and a broad sheet came down from heaven, and they had many kinds of food on it. And you know, which was very good, because at that time he was hungry. You remember? They were cooking food. God said, look at this one, you know, you go chop. The guy said, lie. He came down three times. Finally, he said, what does this mean? The men came. Now, the man went there. You must understand this. He got to the house of Cornelius. Those people had more faith than Peter had ever seen. While he was yet speaking, you know, if you want to give your life to Christ, put up your hand, come forward right now, come forward right now, begin to say after him, you know, it didn't happen. While he was yet speaking, men were believing on their seats. Women were receiving Christ on their seats. The Holy Spirit was entering into them. Peter would not have ministered the Holy Ghost to them. How do I know? When he got back home, the brethren were waiting. All this mingling with Gentiles, you want to bring down, that is the big, oh my father. They went after this guy seriously. And he said, you know, guys, I had to baptize them. When the Lord filled them with the Holy Spirit first, what do you want me to do? Do you know years later, this man had not changed? How do I know? Go and read the book of Galatians. Paul was writing how Peter was amongst the brethren, feeling free. He had learned some things. They were eating. Just food, though, just eating. Then some of the church from Jerusalem arrived. And they said, bro, Peter, let's go and eat now. He said, actually, I have this leading in my spirit right now to commence a fast, you know. He didn't want to eat. Why? Because the food would have been with Gentiles. Then somebody would say, bro, Peter, would you like a piece of chicken? He said, I don't think I've washed my hands. He was playing all kinds of tricks. Paul was looking at him. Paul was looking at him like this. He said, Peter, come here. I know some people say you are the first pope. Whatever you are, let me tell you the truth. What you are doing is bad. You know, that's what Paul did to him. He said, what is wrong with you, brother Peter? Before these guys from James arrived, we were all eating together. All this, you're fasting. I don't like chicken. My hands are not washed. When did this start? Paul said he was caught up with their hypocrisy. That's what Paul said. That is, the people that Peter was mingling with, they did not understand that the Gentiles were equal with them in Christ Jesus. Till today, that thing is a problem. All this tribalism thing, you think it's Nigerian. Forget it. It's not. You go to America, go to America. The typical white man till today, Christian, no, not the unbelievers. The unbelievers, I think for one reason or the other, in their confusion, they have been liberated. The ones who go to church till today, they find it hard to see a black man as an equal. And it's not a joke. Last time I traveled, I went for my alumni people, they had the North American branch, they had a program. So my wife and I just said, let's just use the opportunity just to attend. So we traveled. So one of those, the program had in Atlanta, all right? A town nearby. So we went to church on Sunday with our host, all right? We stayed in his house. So we went to church on Sunday. So we just asked, how's your church and everything? And he said something which was very interesting. He said, when we arrived at the church, it was mostly, I think, like 75% white and 25% minorities, including blacks. And then they got a new pastor who happened to be a black man. And then the church became 50% black and 50% white. Not because black people came, but because white people left. That is a matter of fact. I will say this one to you. All right, let's just say this clear. I won't dwell on it. After analyzing what's going on in life and trying to, you know, just consider many things, I take United States of America as an example. the major problem they have in that country with racism is the church. The church there is the problem. If the church stops being racist today, racism will vanish from America entirely. As at last year, there was a church that still refused to wed a couple because they were black. The pastor didn't know how to handle it. If he weds them, there will be a problem. Conduct a wedding, not anoint them deacon or apostle or any title. Just conduct a wedding between this young man and this young woman who both happen to be black. And the white pastor explained nicely to them that he could not. Why? Because they are black and it's going to offend the other people in the church. And that was 2003 or 2013 or 2012. One of the other, just about a year, less than 2 years ago. Now, those things, look, they didn't start today. Read your Bible well. Read in between the lines. You will find out that after everything that Jesus did, he had to take one man who did not even follow him while he was alive on this earth to anoint him to go and reach the Gentiles. The rest of the people following him about couldn't understand it. And God didn't have that kind, he didn't have that kind of patience to be waiting for Peter to learn. In fact, I don't want to go into it now because I'll say things that many people don't even know why it's a problem. Why am I even talking about it? Let me just leave it here. I'll just leave it there. The other things I will have said. But there's a reason why I'm going to all of these things. Many people don't understand what Christianity is. And in today's day and age in Nigeria, you know, before, the problem in Nigeria was that we imported a lot of Christianity that came to us, came from Europe. Some of it was pure. A lot of it came mixed up with, you know, Christianity that mixed up with European traditions. You know, they have like we have African traditions that wasn't Christian. Europeans also had traditions that wasn't Christian. Background of idolatry. All right, they mixed it and imported. We imported a lot of it. Then, Pentecostals, that is, in the last 30, 40 years, they brought good gospel again into the country. Now, in modern day, what we now have is Christianity is now being mixed in Nigeria again with African tradition. It's very common in South America. You go to Cuba, South America, I see a lot of it. In Africa here too, we have plenty of it. In which people have mixed, and I'll give you a very good example, we talk about it all the time, a mixture of Christianity and African tradition. Most of the deliverance message you hear today is not Christianity, it's African tradition that has been Christianized. Somebody buried something, did not bury, they buried it in the village. You know, that's not Christianity, that's African tradition. So what the pastors did was to give to people what they wanted. So if the man is afraid of evil spirits, afraid of ancestral curses, instead of teaching him the truth, all right, he comes to church, you'll be massaging his fear. Every day, you are told, you know, by the time the next generation of preachers hear, they don't even understand that he was out of trying to please everybody. Is I talking that nonsense you were talking? They now think it's truth. So you see preachers going everywhere, doing spiritual, what we used to call those days in psychology, ab reaction. You know, they call ab reaction in psychology. Some of you, if you know psychology, you've heard of it before. Start doing diagnosis, using... Who was your great-grandfather? Was your great-grandfather an Ogbanje spirit? Or was it your mother that was the Ogbanje? Yes. Then they start doing all kinds of lineage drawing and start telling you that some people came and then there's a curse upon the land. So you now give a dangerous offering to break it. We just mixed. At the end of the day, when God looks, say, where is Christianity here? Very hard to find. What is my aim this time? Let's bring Christ up again. Let's understand that many of the things we practice is not Christianity. They are not Christian. They are pure Judaism. And added with it, we've added African traditions, mixed everything together, we now call it Christianity. I said to you, Christianity, there's one thing about it, what? Christ. Christ. It's interesting that in the Old Testament, you read the God the Father of Abraham, God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and God of Jacob, you get to Paul, Paul doesn't say things like that. In the New Testament, they don't say things like that. The only description they have for God is God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Abraham, it was nice knowing you. Brother Isaac, thank you very much. Your description of God is inaccurate. Brother Jacob, thank you very much for starting the 12 tribes of Israel. But having read the story of your life, with the fear to even call God your friend, not to even talk about your God. You know, the other day I heard, I was listening to the Bible on CD, I said, my God. Judah, Reuben, all those who were not Christians at all. See wickedness. Judah even used to chase harlots. You know, I can't even let you see me stroll. If I wanted to jog, I can't even jog here at night. Unless you see me greeting somebody, preach gospel to you, know, come to Bible study. Are you getting my point? Preach out. You know, those of you know what I'm talking about. You know this line? You see some kind of women for there for night. But I remember when the rocket and I were telling stories inside. I think we went somewhere in one car, so we came back. Somebody was supposed to drop and enter his own car. So we just stood on the road in our car talking. After a while, I had two chiquitos, my car come to the front like this. I said, okay, it's time to go home. Just some years ago. Meanwhile, Judah don't be like that. Judah, the past. Judah's going to call the girl. Come. I'm serious. You know, did you read your Bible? When I read, I say, my God. And then the scepter shall not depart from Judah. I say, God, you sure? After reading it, I said, this is pure election. God said, let me just use these people. Do what I want to do. When he reached New Testament, he said, Paul, come. Is God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ too? These other guys, I beg. Our relationship has ended. I'm telling you, read it. When I read the story of those guys, I just said, God, you had a plan. Amen? You had a plan. You just had a plan. You had a plan. Otherwise, if not, the way some of us judge these things is this. I'm not judging anything. I'm just talking. No? Heaven? Forget. Some guys know they come. Reuben, lie. Hey, the way we judge the matter, go and read your Bible. Reuben, the fine wife. Now, your father, a concubine, collect. You know some things that in Christianity, when you hear it, you say, are you sure you are saved? The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, the truth is that, of course, let me just get back to my main message. The truth is that you say God was working, all right? At the point in time, he did what he wanted to do. He now focused on actually what he did. So after people wanted to talk about God, they said, God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is a description now. It is not the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob anymore. What he is now is the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And why is that important? Because descendants by natural descent now of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob right now have no special claim to him. I hope you understand that. That's why a lot of Christianity they preach now is not true. People sit down and start analyzing for you why Jews are special. And I look, I say, which Bible, sir, did you read? Which Bible are you reading? In Christianity. And all the promises of God are confirmed in him. All of them, including the ones made to what people call the Jewish nation, which we have read enough to know that Paul said after Christ shed his blood, he said that blood wiped out the thing you will have used to distinguish between whether one guy is Jew or Gentile. So that if any promise applies to a Jew, it also applies right now to a Gentile. So if you say, like some people say, that God promised the land of, where is the land now? This is it. All right, so let me point that way. We said God promised one land on that side to the descendants of Jacob. You know what God said? No problem. Banky, if you want, go there, I give you your portion. I don't know whether you hear what I said. Yes, sir. Say why? Because when I want to share it, I can't see the difference anymore between the one that says he's a Jew and the one that says he's a Gentile. Say the same God with the same riches unto all that call upon him. He said, right now there is what? No difference. Why? Because the wall of division was broken by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Therefore, listen, you are not, I'm not saying this because I want you to feel happy. You are not inferior to anybody at all. That's not a joke. You are not inferior to anybody at all. Let me explain something to you. Many of the problems of this life is when people carry things that were temporal. Problems that existed at the time, all right, which God tried to find a temporal solution for. They carried God's temporal solution and bring it into this season. That's where problems begin. I need to talk about Jesus Christ for you to understand what he did. One of the best ways I illustrate it is when you find out that people were slaves at the time. In Africa, you know, when I went to Ghana of the last year, because of where we did our conference I went for in Cape Coast in Ghana, we went to visit the place where they used to export slaves. And you don't want to hear the kind of things that those guys used to do. They used to pack human beings like fowl inside a cave, a dungeon. And sometimes they are there for up to 3 months. They won't come out at all. They will eat whatever little food they are given inside there. Wee-wee inside there. Poo-poo inside there. And they will not come out once. If they are lucky, the ship comes on time, the ship will carry them within a month. If they are unlucky, the ship is delayed, but they are not coming out. If anybody dies, they find a way to drag the person out. So the problematic slaves, they had a place, they lock them up permanently. No food, no water, they wait for the guy to waste away and die. Some of the participants in the conference I went for were white. They came from the United States. And they were like shaking their head. My God, how could someone have done this to another human being? My God. And the guide who will be telling the story, he never forgot to put one story in there. That right above the dungeon was a chapel, an Anglican chapel. And he will point out the hypocrisy of how men will be worshiping and singing and praying. Right beneath them were the human beings that were harvested from the hinterland, ready to be exported. He will show the hypocrisy. And I said, ignorance is a bad thing. I wanted to tell you, say, you see, what you don't understand is that slave trade ended. Did it not end? You will say to me, of course, if I talk to you, what would I have said? Yes, it ended. I said, it ended because there was a chapel upstairs. I don't know whether you got that. That was why it ended. The chapel was not hypocrisy. The chapel was the only reason the slave trade ended. If that chapel was not there, listen to me, that trade would never have ended. I'm going somewhere. Why did the slave trade begin? I will say some things about God that Pentecostals don't like to say because they want, you know, they paint God as if he's Santa Claus. God is not Santa Claus. He's God. He's not a nice guy. I hope you understand my point. He's God. Judges are not nice people. It's just demanded that they are righteous. I don't know whether I get my point. Yes. A judge is not supposed to be nice. If he's too nice, he starts breaking the law. He becomes unfair. A judge is supposed to be fair. And God is the judge of the whole earth. He always does what is right. This is why I'm saying this. Because I'll say some things about God. Why did slavery happen? It was because God commanded it. As a judge, he wasn't being nice. He was just the righteous judge. And that slavery had to happen. I won't discuss the reason why. But you will get the foundation of it from the words of Noah. After Ham sinned, Noah turned and said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants, the lowest of slaves he will be. We've discussed it before. You look at it closely, it was not just Canaan. It was Canaan, it was Put, it was Mizraim, it was Cush, all of them put together because they were all the descendants of Ham. Why did he say, cursed be Canaan? Moses was recording the narrative to explain to the people of Israel why they were taking the land from the people of Canaan. But the point is that the curse of Noah was upon all of them, all descendants of Cush, including all those Nigerians and Ghanaians and black people they took as slaves from that particular point. It's a scriptural principle that the descendants of Shem were superior to the descendants of Japhet. And the most inferior of them all were the descendants of Ham. Listen to me, I'll tell you this. If Jesus did not come, slavery would never have ended. You, looking at me, would have been a slave. Me, preaching to you, would have been a senior slave. I'm a preacher, you know, maybe this is just there. Yeah, as a matter of fact. You don't have time to go through it. All the descendants of Ham, go and check it. Listen, descendants of Shem, Abraham and co. All right? They said, go and Jacob went, marry wife. As soon as married, they gave Bildad. Marry another wife, they gave each wife that was taken had a servant given. They gave, just took a girl, take. And that one would decide that, how come I'm not having children? Okay, you come, go and sleep with my husband. And yes, ma. I don't know whether I get the point. Those were descendants of Ham that they were harvesting and sharing like that. It was by the decree of the Most High God. It was not Satan. It was the decree of the judge of the whole earth. I'm not talking about that. Why didn't he bother him? I'm not talking about the details. It's because he understood and recognized it was for a very temporal period. You hear what I said? Was for what? Very temporal period. The fact is that this is what he designed. That curse of Noah was wiped out by the coming of Jesus Christ. I said the problem of mankind is when they take what was right in one dispensation and they cross into another dispensation. What am I going to explain? Let's take an example. You drive on the right, Nigeria, and you like a very nice car, or let's take the way it normally happens. You are living in UK, you bought this beautiful, beautiful Jaguar, and you love your Jaguar. Then time to go back home. So you bring your Jaguar, you ship it down to Nigeria, you clear the car, and you are feeling very happy, you hit the road. The moment you hit the road, Federal Road Safety tell you, stop. Why? Park. Instantly, it's already an offense. You've not gone against one way. You've not broken a traffic light. That your car was on Nigerian road is an offense. Why? The car is right-hand drive. Supposed to be driven on the left side of the road, and so you were driving it without any trouble with the law in London. Except that now you now got to Lagos. You forgot that you have crossed territories. Are you getting my point? What was right at the time suddenly became wrong. That is, everywhere you go, every law enforcement agent is against you. Why? The law in Nigeria does not allow your car to have its steering on the right side of the dashboard. It's supposed to be on the left side because we drive on the right side of the road. That's how it is also in spiritual things. That's how it is. Every time you look at somebody and say, you are inferior to me, you are saying Jesus hasn't died yet. I don't know whether I hear what I said. Your attitude has become... Now, listen to me. Before the death of Jesus, you were a righteous man. Jacob could take wives and they'll give the wives slaves and he's okay with him. But the moment Jesus died, he made everybody equal. So that Jacob no longer has the right to call somebody the slave of his wife. So that if his wife says that, sorry, I can't conceive, take my slave. He says, does she not have her own destiny? Don't you think she should marry her own husband? Are you getting my point? Why? Jesus died. Jesus died. As this truth is manifested to human beings, that's why liberation comes to them. That's why I said when I went to Ghana then and the guide was explaining that he was trying to point out the hypocrisy. But I said to him in my mind, I didn't challenge him directly. I said to him in my mind, no, you are making the mistake. That church needed to be there to spread the light of Christ to bring an end to the slavery. Without that church preaching that light, that slavery would never have come to an end. That slavery would have endured forever, literally. Please, I hope you are getting my point. The reason why we say it boldly, that you are not inferior to anybody because you are black, You are not inferior to anybody because your parents are not rich. You are not inferior to anybody because of this. It's simply because Jesus died. One of the most backward religions on this earth is Hinduism. Why do I say it? I say that because they maintain a caste system in which some people are superior to others. And they still preach it as a law till today. And in fact, it is a sin, all right, against your destiny to try and change your level in life. If you're in the lowest caste, you're an untouchable. You stand the way they say it is that you have to remain an untouchable so that during your reincarnation, you become something good. Otherwise, you return as earthworm. That's why I say it's one of the most backward of all the religions on this earth. Because the dignity of human beings, all right, was restored by the death of Jesus Christ. They don't understand it yet. Listen, that's what I want to talk about. Christ. Let's read our scriptures. The book of Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Now, I will not read my usual Bible version that I read today. There's a reason why. I want to read New Living Translation. Because it brings these things. In fact, one particular verse there is so powerfully rendered here that I would dare to say is the second most important point I want to make throughout this whole series. The most important point, of course, many points under it, has to do with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. But then when we go on, when we get down to verse 23, I saw the rendering in verse 23 in New Living Translation, and I couldn't find anyone as good as that. That is the second. In fact, it's just like Jesus would say, which one is the greatest of the commandments? You say one, he said the second is like it. So this one is also like the first. Because if God does something for you and you don't understand or live in it, it becomes, you know, as far as you are concerned, undone. I will read New Living Translation, but look at whichever Bible you have